Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Midvale, so you probably already know Sportsman's Warehouse is the headquarters for everything hunting. And with fall fast approaching, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunt. And for the campers, we've got tents, sleeping bags, packs, lanterns, and thousands of accessories. Fall also means football and tailgating. Come check out the selection of grills, smokers, canopies, tables, and chairs. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious? And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Richter joins us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us.
Oh, always a pleasure to be with you.
It is truly an honor having you back on the program. We're excited to have you here. And talking about herbs, I know we're not far away from planting for the fall.
Why, yes. This really is the time to start thinking about the fall. I mean, the summer gardens, in some cases, spaces are opening up where the leaf lettuce was at one point, and maybe the beans are finished, and you're thinking about what to do for next year. Well, fall planting is just a few weeks away, and a lot of people don't plant in the fall because they think, well, the right time to plant is always in the spring. That seems to be the feeding frenzy at the garden centers in the spring, but fall is actually a really good time to plant. Why? Because the plants will be that much further ahead for next season. And in some cases, you put out a perennial plant in the spring and it won't bloom until the following year. Whereas if you plant it in the fall, like now, they'll go to bloom next year. So I always encourage people to plant in the fall. But of course, there are provisos. There are gotchas you've got to think about. There are some perennial plants that are not necessarily hardy where you are. And so you have to think about the hardiness zone. And you may have to think about applying a mulch to help the plants survive the winter outside, et cetera, et cetera. We can talk about that a little bit. But otherwise, fall planting is a really great thing to do, and I wish more people would do it.
Me too. I actually really like the idea. In fact, it really gives those plants a chance to focus on the roots before the ground hardens up, before the next spring.
If you start, let's say, you know, beginning of September or middle of September and so on, you still have, in most temperate areas here in North America, you still have a good month and a half before you get some frost, and then the really hard freeze-ups, you know, maybe 2 months. And that's a lot of time for plants to establish the roots that they're going to need to overwinter.
Makes sense. And now's a great time to make those orders. Things are actually starting to become available again. In the local garden shops, you know, they're closing out, which means you get a lot of sales. But on your side of town, where things actually disappeared, you're actually starting to see things come in stock again.
That's always a challenge for garden centers because they have to have enough people coming in to buy the plants in order to keep a good selection. And if people are just not used to planting in the fall, well, garden centers aren't going to keep up the supply well into the fall. So in that case, then, there are always the mail order companies that can help you out. And that's what we do. We ship right across North America. So all the parts that I think we're going to end up talking about today are available, and we are shipping them and will be shipping them right into the fall.
And while we're talking about shipping, I know you have a very special system that helps ensure those plants show up on your doorstep in great shape.
It's a very simple system, actually. It's a special insert that we put into our boxes that has a way of holding the pots in place and also a part of the soil so that when they travel, and believe me, these parcels are getting handled like footballs. They're getting kicked around. I've seen it in some of the terminals, the big shipping terminals. And yet our plants manage to survive those kinds of handlings and easily do very well getting to as far away as southern United States or down to California, Hawaii, Alaska. We have no problem shipping to those places.
If folks want to browse what you have available, where's your website? How can they find out more?
You can go to richters.com, R-I-C-H-T-E-R-S. .com. And you can get into the catalog section. All you have to do is click on the front page of the catalog that shows up at the first page and home page, and you'll be right there and just choose whatever you want. So we make it easy. And although we're in Canada, a lot of people in the United States are a bit surprised to learn that we are in Canada. We are able to ship to all states in the United States because our greenhouses are USDA approved. We're regulated by the USDA, and all the plants are pre-approved for entry into the United States.
I think that is incredible. In fact, you actually have two different catalogs, one that's Canadian and one that's US.
Well, the content of the two catalogs is identical, except the only difference is that we issue one for specific restrictions for Canadians and then specific restrictions for U.S. customers. Because the way the plant world goes today and the way that plant movement is regulated right across North America, we have to be conscious of what plants are permitted in what areas. So there are certain plants, unfortunately, we're not able to ship to the United States. But the vast majority of what we grow, we have no trouble shipping to the United States.
That's right. Then things are changing all the time, too, and you're always staying appraised of what the changes are, too.
I'm afraid that's a bit of a challenge. The regulators find out about diseases they didn't know about and where some plants may be particular hosts to a disease. It might be a fungus. It might be a virus or even something called a viroid, if you can believe. Sort of something in between a virus and a non-living entity. There are certain plants that they discover are susceptible to these things, and potentially if they get released in the United States or in Canada, they could cause damage. So they're restricting the flow of certain plants. So we always observe these kinds of restrictions and make sure that we're not sending anything that could cause damage to local agriculture.
Again, where's that website? How do people get started?
You can get to richters.com. That's richters.com.
Fantastic. Check it out, folks. We're going to talk about some favorite herbs in just a minute, but right now we're in the fall season. Right now, if we're preparing for the winter season, it's a great time to harvest a lot of those herbs. I know mint we've been collecting and harvesting and drying, and about a week or so, we will also be harvesting a lot of elderberries.
Yes, of course. If you've got a herb garden already established or you have access to wild herbs in your area, well, this is the time to be thinking about collecting some of them. At this time of year, you would be looking for things that are leafy, or maybe if they're in flower, you would collect the flowers. Depending on the portion of the plant that is of interest. For example, you have in your garden oregano, you might have thyme, or you might have sage, or many classic culinary herbs. You use the leaves mostly, and those can be harvested anytime from late spring right up until freeze-up in late fall. But there are times in that period where these plants take on a particular potency. And usually that happens when the plants are just beginning to come into flower. So sage, for instance, that's just coming into bloom, and that would be a perfect time to collect it. And why is that? It's because Most of these plants are programmed, you could say, genetically programmed to produce a maximum amount of essential oils when the plant goes into flower or just before the plant goes into flower. So over centuries, people who have grown herbs have learned that that is the thing to look for. Wait for the plant to just beginning to come into flower and then cut the plants down for drying, for preservation for all winter use and into the next year before the next crop is available next year. So for leaves, for example, you would generally cut your plants down to by about a half or two-thirds of the height of a plant. And I personally like mint and lemon balm or bergamot or these leafy herbs. I generally like to strip these leaves from the stems before I lay them out to dry. And that's a bit of a contrast to, say, the small leafy herbs like thyme. Thyme has very small leaves. It's really not practical to strip off the leaves. And so you would just dry the whole stem with all the leaves still attached. Now, why would you strip the larger leaf herbs, such as mint and lemon balm? Well, it's because the stem is a reservoir of moisture. And as long as the leaves are attached to the stem, it takes just a little longer to get them to dry. By stripping the leaves off and then spreading the leaves out on your drying surface or on, say, a screen that allows the air to flow around the herbs, by doing that, you're cutting off that supply of moisture that's coming from that reservoir of water or moisture in the stems, and the leaves dry that much faster. And why is that important? Well, it's important to dry as quickly as possible because you want to maximize the essential oils that I mentioned earlier. And those essential oils are what give the herb much of its flavor and much of its fragrance. And if, on the other hand, you leave it on the stem, it takes maybe 2 or 3 days longer to dry. And in that time, you could lose an appreciable amount of that essential oil. There's something to be said about the essential oils, just to help understand this a bit. And that is that essential oils, what's really happening with them is that they are volatile oils. That's why we can smell these herbs when we just pick them up or handle them. And these volatile oils, that means that the oils are leaving the plant and just going up into the air. And if you have your herbs drying for too long, then you're going to lose a lot of that essential oil. And so the goal is to dry as quickly as possible. And then once they're properly dry, dry to the point where they won't go moldy, then you put them in an airtight container, like a jar or some plastic bag or something of that sort. So that's the proper way to do leaves. And this time of year, when the plants are coming into bloom, is a perfect time to do that. And of course, if you've got a lot of lemon balm or mint in your garden, or you can go out and collect it from the wild, it's very easy to get a year's supply in just a very short time.
I've made that mistake over the years with the stems on there. I've let it dry too long, and then it's almost like eating sawdust. There's no flavor in them at all, and it's a little disappointing. Those are really good tips you shared.
The other types of herbs that have much smaller leaves, it's not necessary to do that. Because of the smaller leaves, they usually have a lot less moisture in the leaves in the first place. They dry much more quickly, and it's less of a concern. So there, you could just spread out your sprigs on your drying surface or on a screen, for example. One thing that my mom used to do for many years is just simply lay them out on newspapers, and the newspapers in an airy room in the house. And within a couple of days, especially when the leaves are stripped on the large leaf types, or if it's a small leaf type, they will dry within about 3 or 4 days often. And it's important, however, it's really important to make sure that the herbs, before you package them up in some kind of container, that they are completely dry. If there's any residual moisture there, that moisture will eventually lead to molding. So the simple test is simply to grab a few of the herbs and squeeze them in your fingers. If they feel crispy to the touch, then they break up easily in your hand, then you know you've got a fully dried leaf.
Good advice. And it's also good to rotate those from year to year because those oils will, even though they're in a nice bag, over the course of the year, they do lose some of their potency.
And then the leaves are not the only thing that you would want to harvest. For example, you're growing chamomile or calendula. It's the flowers of those that we want to harvest. And in that case, then you're going to let the flowers reach their fullest size at its peak appearance, you could say. And you would cut them or harvest them at that point. But from that point on, you treat them pretty much the same as you would the leaves. Dry them out of the sun. I forgot to mention that, but it's important to dry out of the sun, because if you dry in the sun, many, many years ago, I made that mistake, thinking, well, if it's out in the sun, it'll dry faster. Well, yeah, it'll dry faster, but it'll also lose all its color. So you want to dry your herbs in the shade, but you want a lot of ventilation. You want a lot of air movement so that whatever moisture there is in the leaves, that it gets quickly moved away from the herbs. So when you're drying flowers, it's pretty much from that point on the same as the leaves. Now, the other herbs, you'll want to harvest the roots. Now, that's a very different proposition for harvesting, because you don't harvest the roots when the plants are just coming into flower. You wait much longer. You wait until well into the fall, when the plants are starting to deteriorate, and they're starting to send all their nutrients and all the value that they have produced over the summer months in the above-ground foliage, they're starting to send it down into the roots again. And so oftentimes, let's say in temperate areas, the ideal time for digging up roots for drying would be in October, maybe mid-October for most zones like zone 4, zone 5, zone 6. And so you obviously get out with your shovel and dig up the roots. A lot of times you can leave behind small bits of roots so that the patch will continue to grow in future years, and take up the biggest roots. And first of all, have to wash them. And then you may, depending on how big the roots are, you might have to slice them. Or if they're smaller, thinner roots, then you just dry them whole as they are. Now, drying roots takes longer than the leaves, so you're going to be letting them dry for at least a couple of weeks, and maybe even longer, maybe as much as a month.
That's really good advice. I'm also glad you brought up the fact to leave some of them behind so they continue to thrive and come back again, and that way you don't need to rebuy them again the next spring.
Many plants, especially these bigger plants that you use for medicinal purposes, you know, with the big roots, they very often can propagate by roots. So a perfect example would be a herb like comfrey. Echinacea, you can do it that way. And on. Burdock is another one. Some people might be surprised, well, who would grow burdock? Well, in fact, people do grow burdock. There's improved varieties, such as the Japanese burdock, that is often grown. And it's grown because burdock roots are very beneficial medicinally. They're nutritious, and they help regulate the digestive system and are used quite often in herbal medicine. So these plants, you can cut off a portion of it and leave that behind, or part of the clump. You can cut the clump into half and use half of it and plant the other half in the ground again to continue that patch for the following season.
Burdock, a lot of people will consider that a weed because of the cockle burrs it creates for its seeding. The first time I made homemade root beer, that was one of the ingredients for that root beer beverage. And I've learned a lot about them, and they are very nutritious. A lot of Chinese medicine uses it.
Oh, yes, Chinese medicine. And, of course, it's Japanese burdock, as you would imagine, is an important plant in Japan. It's actually there seen as a vegetable. It's like we think of salsify here in North America. Well, there they would use the roots of the Japanese burdock as a vegetable to be eaten in the early fall.
And berries, like I said earlier, we're coming right close to picking, at least in the mountains, it's getting close to time to be picking elderberries.
Well, of course, with elderberries, it's yet a different plant part. It's the berries. So It's just there, it's fairly straightforward. You just harvest in the berries. Usually you have to do it by hand. And then you might cut off a whole head or sort of umbel of berries. And then you dry them otherwise in the same way. And in the shade, in a location where there's a lot of air movement and where moisture can be drawn away from the berries at the quickest route. Some people who are a little bit more determined to set themselves up for doing a lot of drying of herbs will build their own little dryer. And I know many years ago my dad did that. He just built a little cabinet out of some plywood, and he put a heat lamp at the bottom. He put a fan at the bottom. And then he put a thermostat in this thing, and he had the warm air going through the whole cabinet. And throughout the cabinet, he had these trays that he built out of wood with a screen stapled on to the bottom. So these were trays that would fit into the cabinet. And so what happened is that the fan was blowing this warm air through those screens on each of the trays, and it would come out at the top of the cabinet. And the whole thing, I think, probably took him about a couple of days to do, but that thing, more than 40 years later, still works for us. It's a great piece of equipment. So that's if you're a little bit more serious and want to dry stuff a little bit more quickly. But again, you have to be careful with the drying here. Now, when you apply heat, you have to make sure that it's not too much heat. You certainly have to be careful if you're going to dry, say, for example, in an oven. An oven tends to be a little too hot. And then, you lose, especially in leaves, you lose the essential oils. I know early on when we were learning, this is many years ago, decades ago, we thought, oh, let's try drying some mint in the oven. And we'd set the oven at the lowest setting, and we would put the fresh herbs on some trays or some pans and leave a door a little bit ajar so that the air could come out. And man, I tell you, the whole house smelled great of mint. But then the problem was all the essential oils were basically expelled out of the dried herbs. And what we were left, as you said earlier, just nothing more than basically sawdust or just paper. So you have to be careful not to use too much heat. And so that cabinet idea I mentioned a moment ago, my dad had it set so that the temperature was never more than about 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's the time of year. Take advantage of it. If you wait, folks, you will miss out on that opportunity, and you'll be missing it after the frost hits us.
That's right, yes. Well, you know, between first frost and complete freeze-up, it usually takes a few weeks. But if you wait until that first frost, then there's not much growing that's going to happen after that. So I would say for most of our areas in the temperate zones, starting in about the beginning of September is a really, really good time to start planting.
Truly is. That is incredible. Again, if folks are looking for different herbs to purchase for their garden, fall's a great time to plant. And again, where do they find these?
You can go to our website at richters.com. That's RICHTERS.com. I should point out that although we have on our catalog, there's one thing we haven't updated. That is, unfortunately, we're out of paper catalogs for this season. But you can still download the electronic version, the PDF. So if you want to do that instead of browsing through the website, you can do that as well.
I actually have that on my phone right now, and I love to look at it anytime I have a spare minute. Great resource. Again, that website?
That's richters.com, RICHTERS.com.
Anything else you'd like to share with folks out there?
Well, this is really the time to place those orders because, you know, it does take a few weeks to get them shipped your way. So think about it now. It's a good time to be planting your fall plantings.
Fantastic. Conrad Richter with us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us.
I always appreciate joining you. We'll be right back.
choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hollow State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Chukar hunting is just getting started. We're hiking the foothills next on Western Life Radio.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Midvale, so you probably already know Sportsman's Warehouse is the headquarters for everything hunting. And with fall fast approaching, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunt. And for the campers, we've got tents, sleeping bags, packs, lanterns, and thousands of accessories. Fall also means football and tailgating. Come check out the selection of grills, smokers, canopies, tables, and chairs. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud.
If you would like a little more from your range experience than standing and shooting holes in paper, come and train with us, TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Chase some chuckers this fall for a great outing with the family. Scott Root with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources meets us at the trailhead.
The regular chucker hunt, that's a very long season. It goes all the way until February 15th. So if you haven't hunted chucker partridge, you should try it. Your bag limit's 5 birds, and that makes a really good meal. And often you can get into a bunch of those chuckers and get 5 birds. So you just got to find them and listen for them and locate them. And it helps to have a dog. And you need to be very careful because most of the time you're going up on steeper hills. But 5 chucker partridge, that is an amazing meal. And like I say, for the youth hunt, I like to try to locate places where I can drive a little closer to the chucker habitat rather than make my son or daughter have to climb straight up a mountain. So I like to think of places like West Mountain on the south end of Utah Lake, and that is one of the places we put some chuckers. But you really don't need to go looking for those spots because we have a lot of healthy chucker populations. Most of our desert mountain ranges will have chucker partridge. Look for rocky, grassy slopes. And especially if there's a guzzler around, and they're kind of secret, we don't tell you where they're at. But if you've ever run into a guzzler and it's active and has water, that's a really good place to start. I mean, I don't encourage people to just camp on the guzzler.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Hi, this is James Ray with Be Ready Utah, and I'd like to talk to you about emotional and mental health resilience. Mental and emotional resilience is applicable to individuals at home or at work. Safeguarding mental health has grown to become a key consideration for business continuity. I want to share 5 strategies that you can use at home with your family or at work with your coworkers, but I will approach this from a workplace perspective. Strategy 1 is to take steps to check in individually with every employee. It's important to treat everyone as an individual. Different people will be responding to the stress brought on in different ways, and it will potentially cause a range of mental health issues for many people. The first step towards recognizing these comes with actively checking in with employees in a one-to-one situation, as this can allow businesses to form a greater understanding of how they're coping through this particularly difficult period. Strategy 2, make sure people have and are aware of secure routes for reporting their mental health issues. Strategies which look to engage with employees and directly ask them about how they're doing should be accompanied by more subtle routes for people to gain help. Often, people may feel intimidated to discuss their mental health with the colleagues and manager they work with on a day-to-day basis, as they may have anxiety about the way they're perceived. To counter this issue, it's important that employees can discuss their mental health issues with people within a business away from their direct teams, preferably an HR manager or someone with mental wellness training. Removing the stigma to discuss mental health issues is an important part of creating a culture of health within an organization. And getting leaders to walk the talk is definitely key. Strategy 3, allow and encourage employees to take breaks. To be at our most productive, it is important to take regular breaks within the workday. One useful and easy to implement technique is the Pomodoro technique. This involves using a timer to break down work into intervals, separated by short breaks. The steps of this technique are as follows. Decide on the task to be done and set a timer, usually to 25 minutes, and work on the task. When the timer rings, put a check mark on a piece of paper and take a break. If you have fewer than 4 check marks, take a short break of 3 to 5 minutes and then reset the timer. After 4 check marks, take a longer break of 15 to 30 minutes. Then start the technique again, resetting your check mark count to 0. This has been proven to help improve concentration and avoid procrastination, as well as providing a sense of achievement as tasks are completed. Strategy 4, consider the information employees are receiving. And if this applies to your family, consider the information your family members are receiving. People are bombarded in their daily technology-filled lives with more and more information, as it's hard to get away from it. Some of the information around disasters is poor quality, factually inaccurate, feeding feelings of mass hysteria and paranoia. Both a lack of information and poor quality information has been shown to increase irrational thinking. Checking in with employees on a personal level to make sure they are receiving information from legitimate sources is an important task for employers. But it can help employees form an understanding of the situation in the world, which counters many of the negative conspiratorial narratives. Strategy number five, this is the last one, provide employees with the tools to help them, understanding the level of personal responsibility, which must be encouraged. Ultimately, businesses need to be focused on creating the conditions in which an individual employee is able to take responsibility for their mental well-being, finding the particular strategies which work for them. This links fundamentally to the workplace culture businesses cultivate. A culture which promotes self-care and provides the tools for this can be invaluable for employees. If people feel like they have the option of going for a lunchtime walk to a local park, getting some much-needed fresh air and exercise, then they are far more likely to do so. But the decision to go ahead with this still rests with them. With many employees working from home, encouraging personal responsibility regarding mental wellness becomes an even more important task, as organizations in the current setup simply have a lot less direct oversight on employees. Those are the five strategies for helping build mental and emotional resilience within your workforce or others around you. This has been James Ray with Be Ready Utah. For more information, go to our website at BeReadyUtah.gov.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Hey, this is Nick Zaleski with Utah State University Extension's Integrated Pest Management Program. Let's talk about flea beetles. So flea beetles can have several hosts, including our coal crop, leafy greens, tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, beets, potatoes, melons, a lot of our seedlings, and many different weeds. So flea beetles get their names because adults jump when they're disturbed with their large hind legs. They can have metallic colored bodies that range from black, bronze, bluish, brown, or gray. And some species even have stripes. The larvae are very small, white, worm-like with a brown head. For the damage, the adults and larvae can feed with their chewing mouthparts. Adult feeding can cause these shallow pits, small round holes in the foliage, cotyledons, and stems. Flea beetles have 1 to 3 generations per season, and they can overwinter as adults on nearby weeds. Usually the adults will emerge from early April to mid-June, and adults can be found feeding on the foliage of host plants. Be sure to monitor seedlings in the spring for flea beetle presence and look again for those round holes in the leaves. Populations tend to build to their highest densities in mid to late summer. Use yellow sticky cards and visual scouting when seedlings emerge. Inspect crops for adult flea beetle injury near the field borders, especially with cruciferous weeds. Flea beetles are an annual problem in the spring and can cause cosmetic damage and or kill the small plants. So to manage flea beetles, remember to keep the crop area weed free. Consider planting trap crops. Use row covers during the seedling establishment to exclude those adult flea beetles. And then be sure to eliminate old crop debris and other surface trash. Applications of insecticide may be needed, but remember that can be tricky since flea beetles are so small and highly mobile. If you have more questions or want to learn more about flea beetles or other pests, check out our website at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Gun-free school zones make for soft targets for those who would do school violence. Utah schools are not soft targets, thanks to the education provided by FasterUtah.org.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Midvale, so you probably already know Sportsman's Warehouse is the headquarters for everything hunting. And with fall fast approaching, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunt. And for the campers, we've got tents, sleeping bags, packs, lanterns, and thousands of accessories. Fall also means football and tailgating. Come check out the selection of grills, smokers, canopies, tables, and chairs. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud. And now for today's acoustic campfire concert, we're featuring Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway.
Two trees in the forest, one was crooked, one was straight. Crimson bark and emerald needles growing day by day. And though they look so different, they enjoyed the rain the same side by side. A chickadee had told them of a darkness on the land. Spinning blades that came to visit carried by a man. And every other tree would see them cut down. Stand by and by. Oh, can't you see? A crooked tree won't fit into the mill machine. They're left to grow wild and free. Oh, I'd rather be a crooked tree. Trees were driven down the mountain to the mill. They turned them into toothpicks and $20 bills. Seemed the more the people took, the more they needed still in the end. The crooked trees were left there after all the work was done. Now they go for weeks and never witness any wine. No one left to tell them if they're growing right or wrong with whispering. Up from the land. So who
connect with the world through Rise Broadband, and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Play safe, play sober. BUI is boating under the influence. It is illegal to operate a motorboat while under the influence of alcohol. And in Utah, BUI penalties are the same as DUI. It will cost you money and may cost you your life. Play safe, play sober. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Gun-free school zones make for soft targets for those who would do school violence. Utah schools are not soft targets, thanks to the education provided by FasterUtah.org.
Listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.